If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 1 Timothy. I would like to read from 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll be looking, Lord willing, at the 15th verse primarily. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from the Word of God, I would like to ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hill from which cometh our help, knowing that our help does come from the Creator of heaven and earth, from our Heavenly Father. We're thankful that we know Thee as not only as the God of heaven and earth, but we know that Thou art our Heavenly Father and that Thou hast loved us with an everlasting love. We thank Thee for sending Thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. Lord, we thank Thee that while we live each day that we can feel Thy presence with us. We're thankful that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to be in Your presence, that we can feel Thee and that we can commune with Thee and talk with Thee, that if we walk in the light as You are in the light, that we will have fellowship one with another. So we thank You, Lord, for the great strength and peace and encouragement that we have when we can feel the presence of God with us. And we pray, Lord, that You would help us this night, that we would truly be able to feel that God is with us, that we might be able to say that surely it is good to be in this place. And we pray that You would help us to know that You are here with us. We beg Thy blessings on all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that Thou art the great physician and that Thou hast all power, that You're able to touch and healed. You're able to just speak the words and restore to health. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would bless all those who are sick and afflicted, those on the prayer list, those that have been mentioned audibly and in the bulletin, and those that are on our own hearts and minds, that You would bless each of Thy children, wherever they might be. Pray that You would bless all those that are here tonight. We thank You, Lord, for every person that's here and each family that's represented. We beg Thy blessings upon each of us tonight, that we would be able to hear the Word of God, and that Thy Word would be as seed sown in fertile ground. Lord, we pray that we might not ever meet together out of habit. Yep. We pray that we might not ever come together and sit in the house of God and just take it casually, that we have the privilege to be able to worship Thee in the singing of songs. We pray that You would forgive us if we ever fail to lift up our voices and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Forgive us when we enter into Your gates without thanksgiving and without praise. Help us, Lord, that we might worship You in this hour, and that we might value the Word of God. We know that there was a time when the Word of God says that the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. And we pray that Thy Word would be precious to us, that You would help us to realize how precious Thy Word is. Help us to understand the truth of Thy Word. Teach us and instruct us, and may Thy Word find a lodging place in our hearts. May we understand the truth of Thy Word, and may we share that truth with others. Open doors of opportunity during this coming week, that we might have the opportunity to share the truth with other of Thy dear children, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You again for all of Your blessings in all of our lives. Thank You, Lord, that You've blessed us to understand that we're not worthy of even the least of Thy blessings, and yet You've been so good to us all. Thank You, Lord. Thank You from the bottom of our heart for all the blessings of life. Bless us now and help us as we study Thy Word. We pray in the precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I'd like to read now from 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. The Word of God says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now that's what Paul said. He says, this is a faithful saying. Let me first mention this. There are several times in the Word of God, we studied this several years ago during our week of worship and recreation, but there are several times in the Word of God where the Bible will say specifically, now, this is a faithful saying. And I want to encourage all of you to personally, as well as teaching your children, but I want to encourage all of you to realize that God has stressed and emphasized some points in His Word, and He is emphasizing this truth when He says, now, this is a faithful saying. You need to learn, memorize every faithful saying in the Word of God. This is the particular faithful saying that I want us to look at tonight, that this is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the main thing I want you to remember. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We're going to be dividing that expression, that truth, that faithful saying, we're going to divide that into three different parts. And the first thing, and I think it's very important for us to remember, is that Christ Jesus came into the world. What does that mean, that Christ Jesus came into the world? What's the difference in, is there anybody here that came into the world? Is there anybody here that came into the world? No. There's nobody here that came into the world. All of us were born of our natural parents. We didn't come from somewhere else. We didn't come from another planet or come from heaven down here into this world. We came as we were born of our parents. That's when we had our beginning, was when we were born of our mother and our father. But now Jesus is different than that. Jesus did not have His beginning when He was conceived in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. That was not the beginning of Jesus Christ. That was the beginning of His natural life, but that was not His beginning. Jesus was with God in heaven before He was born of the Virgin Mary. In fact, if you go back to the very beginning of this world, you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when you begin there in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to know that Jesus was right there in the beginning of the world. Come to John chapter 1, the New Testament. The Word of God says, in the beginning was the Word. Now who is the Word? Who is the Word? Jesus. That's Jesus Christ. Because verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Was Jesus way back there in the beginning of the world? Back there in Genesis 1, when man was created, was Jesus back there? Because John 1:3 comes on and says that there was not anything made that was made without Him. That is, without Jesus, there was nothing that was made. Jesus made all things. So Jesus was back there in the beginning when man was created. You remember how the Scripture says, and God said, let us make man in our image. Who is the us that was back there in Genesis 1:26 when God said, let us make man in our image? Who is the plural Godhead? It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Godhead were way back there in the beginning of the world. So I think it's important and it is significant. In fact, this week in studying about Jesus coming into the world, I've been amazed at how many different times Jesus Himself, specifically while He was here on this earth, that Jesus would repeatedly say, I came down from heaven. Why do you think He's emphasizing that? Among other things, He's emphasizing that He did not have His beginning like me and you. That He came down from heaven. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, that though He was rich, when was it that He was rich?
In heaven.
In heaven, in eternal heaven. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor. When did He become poor? When He came down from heaven. He was rich in heaven, but He came down from heaven. And as He came down here, He became poor that we, through His poverty, might be rich. The Word of God says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Where did He send Him forth from? He sent Him from eternal heaven. Where did He send Him down to? He sent Him down here into this world. So what is this faithful saying? The faithful saying is that Christ Jesus, what's the first part of this verse? Christ Jesus did what?
Came.
Christ Jesus came into the world. Let me give you one specific scripture that I want all of you to remember. Back up in your Bibles to John chapter 6. And I want you to hear what Jesus says here. And if you want a lot of scriptures, I tell you, just read the book of John. In fact, if you want me to just hand you a list of scriptures from the book of John, where Jesus in chapter after chapter, John chapter 6, John chapter 7, John chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, on through the book of John, it seems like that the only thing that he mentions in every chapter in John 6 through 10 especially, in every chapter he's emphasizing, I came down into this world. Did you know there are a lot of people today, and I'm talking about a lot of church-going people, a lot of Christians that don't know that Jesus is eternal. There are a lot of church-going people that think that Jesus had his beginning when he was born of the Virgin Mary. That is not true. And that's what's being emphasized. The first thing that's emphasized in this text, this faithful saying, is that Christ Jesus came into the world. He came from somewhere else into this world. He didn't come from Mars or Venus. He came down from the portals of heaven and he came into the world. John chapter 6, I want you to notice verse 38. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Here's what Jesus says. What are the next two words? For I what? For I came down. He says, for I came down from heaven. Now what's he telling us there? He's telling us that he's different than all of us. Did you know that if Jesus was not God manifest in the flesh, he could not have saved himself, much less any of us? If Jesus had not been born of the Virgin Mary, if she had not been a virgin, if his birth had not been an immaculate conception, if his birth had not been the Holy Ghost coming upon Mary and her, that was conceived in her being of the Holy Ghost, if Jesus was nothing but a man and just a good man, Jesus would have been a sinner at the time he was born.
That's right.
Because all of us who are born of man and woman, we are sinners, not just by practice, but we are sinners by nature. But Jesus was different because he was not of natural origin.
Yes.
So he says in John 6, 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, he says, and this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Do you know how many of God's children are going to be lost? I'm talking about eternally lost. And I want to tell you that, brethren, that when Jesus, well, I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get off track. I don't want to start chasing rabbits, but there's just a lot of times people think that people are lost eternally, that they're not lost eternally, but they're just lost as far as fellowship with God is concerned.
Yeah.
There are some very important people mentioned in the Bible that says, you know, none is lost except this one. Well, they're not lost eternally, but they're lost as far as fellowship with God is concerned. Jesus has never lost one of his people. Not even one can be lost by Jesus. I'm talking about eternally lost by Jesus Christ. That I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. So where did Jesus come from? He came down from heaven. What is this faithful saying? The faithful saying, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, why did he come? He came into the world. He came from heaven down into this world. What did he come to do? He came to
save.
To save. This is the statement now. Here's the statement. Here is the faithful saying that's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. That tells us where he came from. What did he come to do? To save. That's the next thing I want you to remember. Don't go to the sinners yet. Just the fact that he came to save. Did you know that? One doctrine alone is not understood by most of God's children today. You might say, well, everybody knows that Jesus came to save. No, they don't know that he came to save. Many of God's dear, precious children think that Jesus came to try to save.
Yeah.
Because they say, well, he wants to save you if you'll let him. That's a man that's trying to save. That's not the saying. That's not the truth of the Word of God.
No.
You will never find in all of God's Word, Old or New Testament, where God is wanting to do anything. And yet it's common today to hear people say, Jesus, have any of you ever heard people say, Jesus wants to save you if you'll just let him. Have you ever heard a statement such as that? He wants to save you if you'll let him. No, Jesus didn't come and try to save. He didn't come and offer to save. So many times people will say, well, he's offered you eternal salvation. He's offered you a free ticket to heaven. Let me tell you something, brethren. Jesus didn't come and try to save. He didn't come and offer to save. What did he come to do?
Save.
He came to save. And he accomplished what he came to do. Jesus didn't miss the mark. He didn't almost save. He didn't save you 99% of the way, and then all you've got to do is one little thing and the salvation is complete. He came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Back up in your Bibles just a moment. To Matthew chapter 20. I want you to find that the Word of God makes it clear that Jesus came into the world to save. Matthew chapter 20, listen please to verse 28. Now, let me ask you this question before we go further. Is Jesus coming into the world, is his only purpose in coming into the world to save his people from their sins? Is that his only purpose?
No.
Well, that's not the only reason. There are many other reasons he came. There are many other things that he came into the world to do. Tell me some things he came to do besides saving his people from their sins. Tell me some other functions, other purposes that Jesus had in coming down into the world. What else did you do, Sister Sarah? That's exactly right. Did Jesus come to teach us the Word of God? Listen, brethren, that's one of the most outstanding things about Jesus. He says, you remember what Nicodemus said to Jesus? He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. You hear that? Nicodemus understood that Jesus came from God, and he understood he was here for a purpose, and one of those purposes was to teach his people. Did Jesus do a lot of teaching while he was here? Most of his ministry is either spent teaching people the truth, teaching people the Word of God, or what's another thing he came to do besides teaching his people? What else did he come to do? Say it again. Okay, to serve people, to minister to people. There were many people that were sick and many people who had other needs. And Jesus came into this world and he ministered to them. He served them. He helped them. When there were physical problems, he would come and he would teach them and he would heal them. Many other reasons. Give me one other reason that he came into the earth besides serving people and besides teaching people. What's another reason he came besides saving? Give me another reason he came into this world. Okay, say it again, Sister Cindy.
Be an example.
Okay, the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ came down into this world to be an example and to set an example so we can know how to live. It's not hard to be a Christian. Just look at the life of Jesus Christ. He set an example for us. And that was one of his purposes in coming into the world, is to set an example for us as how to live. Brother Philip mentioned another reason that he came into the world. He came into the world to establish his church. And he did that while he was here. He established his church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Jesus Christ came into the world for many different reasons. But there is only one primary reason that Jesus came into the world. There is one reason that is more important than establishing his church. There's one reason that's more important than serving people. There's one reason that's more important than teaching people. The one reason that he came into the earth that's more important than any other reason for coming into the earth is to save his people from their sins. Now look at Matthew chapter 20. He tells us two reasons here. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus himself is speaking and he tells us two reasons that Jesus came into the earth. What's the statement over there in 1 Timothy 1:15 we're looking at? This is a faithful saying. What's the faithful saying? This is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus did what? Came into the world to do what? To save. All right, now Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, Jesus says, even as the Son of Man, who is the capital S-O-N, Son of Man? Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus says about Himself, even as the Son of Man came, He did what? He came. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Now, is that a wonderful thing that He came to do, is to minister, to serve people? That's wonderful. And to give His life a ransom for many. Now, brethren, when Jesus Christ gave His life, when He died on the cross, that's what was necessary in order for Him to save His people from their sins. His blood had to be shed for our sins. He came to save us from our sins. How many people have been saved by the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament? How many people were saved by all that blood of bulls and goats? How many were saved that way?
None.
How many were saved in the Old Testament because they kept the commandments of God and they were faithful to God? How many of them were saved from eternal hell because they had kept the commandments of God?
None.
Well, how were those people before Jesus Christ saved? They were saved the same people, the same way that those after Christ was saved. They were saved because Jesus came into the world, and He came into the world to save His people from Adam till the end of time. He came and He accomplished what He came to do. He came, He died on the cross, He shed His blood, He gave His life a ransom for, what was the last word there in Matthew 20, 28? He gave His life a ransom for many. Just a few? Are there only going to be a few people in eternal heaven? No, sir, not a few. It's a people so great that no man can number out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. Now, there are only a few who enter the kingdom of heaven while they live here in this world, but there are many who are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He came into the world. This is a faithful saying. That Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save. He came to minister. He didn't come to be ministered unto, but He came to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. What did the angel tell Joseph before Jesus was ever born? What did the angel tell Joseph? He said that that thing that was conceived in Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. He says, don't be afraid to take her unto you to be your wife. Because that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call His name, what?
Jesus.
There are three shalls in that one verse of Scripture, Matthew 1:21. God told Joseph, thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sons, from their sins. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He is going to try to save you. He's going to offer to save you. No. He came and He saved. He shall save. Now, who did He save? He saved His people. Who are His people? His people are those that were chosen by God in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. You go home and read Ephesians chapter 1. You'll find that God chose a people, and He chose a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and family and tribe. He chose a people that's so great that no man can number, and they were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I'm glad to know that Jesus accomplished what He came to do. What's this faithful saying? Christ Jesus came into the world, and He came in the world to save. He came in the world to save His people, and He came to save His people from what? From their sins. Because if Jesus had not paid for our sins, if He had not saved us from our sins, if Jesus has not accomplished what He came to do, then you and I will spend eternity in hell because of our sins. But what did Jesus accomplish? He saved His people from their sins. Now, if I were to say all people in this building that feel like you're a sinner, please stand. If I were to say that, but if I were to say that to all churches, if I were to go all over Waycross, did you know that some people would just sit right there like they're not a sinner? Did you know there are some people that I talk with regularly who do not think they're sinners? Did you know that? There are people, there are congregations that believe, there are denominations that believe that they don't sin once they're born again. Once you're born again, they think that once you walk down the aisle and you, quote, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, they don't think you sin after that. Well, I'm telling you, brethren, you do sin. You and I are sinners every day. We sin when we don't even realize we're sinning. The Bible says the very thoughts of foolishness is sin. The Bible says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's not just adultery and drunkenness. Those are not the only sins. So many times God's people think that just because they don't do something like that, they think they're not sinners. I'll tell you, God's Word says that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none righteous. There's not a single one of us that are righteous. There's not a single one of us that is without sin. And the only reason that any of us are going to be in eternal heaven is because Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners. To save what? To save sinners. To save sinners. Romans 3:23 says, all, that's every one of us, all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm glad, I'm thankful that Jesus came to save sinners. Now, I wish I was as good as the Apostle Paul. Don't you wish you were as good as the Apostle Paul? Don't you wish you had lived as good a life as the Apostle Paul did? Don't you wish you'd lived that good a life? Can you live that good a life? I think you can. But you know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the faithful saying. And then he says, of whom I am chief. You know what Paul meant when he says, of whom I am chief? He wasn't bragging about how good he was. He was declaring, I feel like I am the worst sinner that's ever lived on the face of this earth. You know why the Apostle Paul felt that he was the chief of sinners? It's because he was living so close to God that he saw the holiness of God. And the more we see the holiness of God, the more we'll see how sinful we are. Every time any saint of God has ever been close to God, you know what the one thing is that's common to all the people of God and all the Word of God that ever have ever gotten close to God, you know what they've always felt? They've always felt, I'm a sinner. They've always fallen down in the presence of God. They've always felt wretched in the presence of God. Why? Because the closer you get to God, the more you're going to feel, I'm a chief of sinners. I am the chief of sinners. May God help us to realize what a faithful saying this is, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, is my prayer for Christ's sake.